a question has been passed to the front. If you receive your salvation when you're young, then are converted to another religion later on in life, such as Muslim, who do not believe in Jesus as Son, what happens to your salvation? Well, I think that, and I'll take a stab at this. Number one, God knows those that are His. God knows the sincere heart that bows in faith to Him. We don't know when a call is made, when an individual comes forth and says, you know, I have been affected by the gospel, the word that has been presented, and I would like to open my heart and receive what has been presented of the Lord Jesus. God knows whether there has been a sincereness in that heart or whether it is simply someone who has been overcome with emotions of the moment. So very often when you're young, you might be caught up in the moment. And that is why, especially with young children, you try to strive to see if the intent is really sincere in the heart. We don't know whether someone is saved or not. What we see is the manifestation of what they say they have done. Now, someone who is truly saved, I don't believe that you're going to see them walking as or taking up a faith of whether it's the Muslim or some other faith that is contrary to the teachings of the Word of God. So we would have to wonder if they ever were truly saved at all. But I'd like to go back to, if I would, and tag on to what Brother Phil said. And it's interesting that, first of all, Paul talks about being strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You see, we know from the book of Romans that there is that ongoing struggle in the believer, that the old nature, the old man, wants to rise up and he wants to dominate. But I believe the Spirit of God is pointing out here that the very things that we have been enjoying, it is these very things that should strengthen us in the inner man, to consider how great God is, to consider that God, as this great architect of this great plan, would use us to show to angelic beings His purposes. These things ought to they ought to stimulate and develop and strengthen us in our inner man. And then that Christ might dwell. And I understand that that means that He might be at home in the heart, that He might take up residence. And I think of the household in Bethany with Lazarus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. When the Lord was in that location, He knew there was one place that He would feel at home. And He wants to feel that same way in our hearts, young people. Oh, these truths are wonderful to know intellectually, to understand in our minds. But where does it really get worked out? In our hearts. That Christ might take up or feel at home in our hearts. That ye may be rooted and grounded where? In all of this great knowledge? No, in love. That we may be able to, and I understand this word is apprehend. That we may be able to apprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge. These are great things, young people. They're lofty things. But it comes down to a basic formula, being strengthened in the inner man, letting that new nature, that which is of Christ, be built up, and that Christ, the anointed, the exalted man, that He would feel at home in our hearts.
I don't want to pass over that question. I do want to suggest that that question is probably one that ought to be taken up with the individual that has written it in private. We ought to spend. If you have real concern about that, and I want to say this on behalf of me, of Emil, of Tony, of John, of others here, it's a good question, and it's one that we can't in 2 or 3 minutes go into here. And I would like to see us at the end of this reading, I'd like to see us end up on the mountain. And I think of what was mentioned behind me by Paul or Philip. And I think of what this brother mentioned about verse 20. What a wonderful verse to end our reading on. Now unto Him. Let's turn our hearts and our eyes away from man, away from you and I, away from looking at others, because we're going to see failure when we have our eyes focused upon one another. The greatest of men that you look at is going to fail. How we need to realize that. But here's one that won't. Now unto Him. And now look at the next three words. You know, it's what always happens with men. Promises are made. People say they'll do things for you. They have good intentions. But do you know what? Many times they're unable to do what they say. What a wonderful, blessed Savior we have. That He has the power to do what He says He will do. Unto Him that is able. Now, what does it say here? He's able, if it just said that He was able to do all, we would think that's a wonderful thing. But that's not what this verse says. And this is one of those verses to me that is remarkable. Because it shows me that the Spirit of God is saying, I'm going to labor with words in the English or in the original translated to your language. I'm not going to be able to find just one or two words. But I'm going to use a combination of those words to describe to you the greatness of the one that you've been brought to know. That He might do abundantly above all that we ask. You say, that's great. Abundantly above all? And then we come back and He says, no, that's not enough either. I'm going to do exceedingly. And now I go beyond realms that I can really think of. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask. And you think, what a remarkable Savior we have. But now, it's not all that I ask. Above all that we ask or think. And I'm immediately sent back again to the power of the one that works in us. The resurrection power, the power that raised Him from among the dead and set Him in the pinnacle of the heavens, is the power that is available for the young people in this room today. If I come and say, and I know our time is gone, but if I say there's not power for me to live for Christ, I'm blaming Him. I need to take the blame upon myself. If I'm a young person and I've got difficulties and problems in my life, it's not because there's not power. It's because of me. I need to face that squarely. If there's problems in my life, it's not because that God hasn't made the provision. It's because I have not availed myself of them. And if you're one here with some of those areas, we're here 24/7 to help you. You had a comment? Yeah, and it needs to be brief. We really need to be gone in about 2 minutes.
Just as a final thing, we've been reading it this whole time, exceedingly abundantly. That's not what it says. It says exceeding abundantly. It's an adjective. It's not something describing above. It's even describing abundantly. It's more than just abundantly.
One more comment. Just be brief. We really need to go. So, okay. We're all right. Maybe someone would. It's nice to leave on a mountaintop. That's the wonderful thing. To leave when we're up here. Maybe someone would give thanks and for the food.